and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
How about that?
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Let's get him hard.
Pedro Fernandez.
Better grab me quick before my knees give way.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Coming at you, emanating from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, approaching 37 years of radio. That's right. The middle of this month, September 15th, I think it was the 14th to be exact. But we'll have an anniversary show of sorts, and I'm not going to celebrate a whole lot. It'll be the same old thing we do each and every week, kicking ass, knocking out all bums, as we have been for 35, 36, now I'll make that 37 years. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This, the two-hour edition, the Sunday edition, of course, some of you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211. I mean, 1,000 different other internet platforms. Bottom line is, you could be 1,000 places, but you're here with me, so I thank you so much. For the next 2 hours, we'll explore the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Concentrate on boxing in hour number one, of course. We're bringing the retired HBO godfather, that's right, Mr. Larry Merchant. Hour number two, hey, we'll bring in Aaron Snow. Can I say, one of the greatest trainers around, no doubt about it. His longevity has been around a long time. Of course, he was in the corner with Mike Tyson when Mike Tyson lost to Buster Douglas, so I guess that's what he's going to be known for. But he had hundreds of wins, but they all dog him for that one loss. So we'll hear from Aaron Snow, a champion in his own heart, no doubt about that, and a champion in my heart. Man, Aaron's cool people. So Aaron comes along in hour number two. The Godfather comes along in hour number one. We'll talk some UFC as well. Open phone lines all around the planet, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Guilt free. No commitment text line. 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. And I'm abiding by the Twitch rules. So right now we're live on twitch.tv. Of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. Let's see how long that lasts. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization. As I drive into the city by the bay each day, of course, I live on the peninsula. So as I drive into the city each day, of course, I get to see homeless people everywhere. I mean, just everywhere. So I basically adopted this one guy. We'll call him Holmes, but his name is Joe. So I adopted him for the last seven or eight months. I've been, you know, feeding him three or four times a week. Scott Cuddy goes down there and feeds him. He lives around the corner on the sidewalk from our studio. So anyways, we're, you know, kicking him back, kicking him down some food here and there. And then I said to him last week, I said, Joe, man, I said, when are you going to get off the street? You know, because he's got a sister, he's got some support behind him, and this and a family behind him who wants to get him off the street. And he said he didn't really want to get off the street. And when he told me he really didn't want to get off the street, I sort of lost my lust to want to help him. Can you relate to that? I mean, it was just a little bit weird. I mean, you're trying to get somebody into a house or an apartment or a hotel, something like that. The family is anyway, and he's resistant. So I guess it's sort of like what Muhammad Ali told me back in China a long, long time ago. After we went to a hospital and we had donated some money, and after we left the hospital, I was in tears. And the reason why I was in tears is that I saw these crippled kids, and I had a kid at home that was 3 years old, and I didn't realize how lucky I was, the whole nine yards. And Ali came back to me, and he's giving me this, you know, we saved these people. We gave them some money for some food. They'll be eating for a year, you know, don't cry, blah, 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 blah. And then he got up, and before he left, he said to me, besides, you can't save every puppy in the pound. And that's when I realized that you can't save every puppy in the pound. So, Joe, you and me, I think, have a social divorce going on. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Not that I won't find another homeless guy to feed or woman homeless woman to feed, but I think Joe's history. I brought him some food this morning, but that's probably the finale. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Enough of my social issues. We take it to Southern California, bringing in the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant himself. And Larry, how are you and the godmama this Sunday morning?
Well, we're having a hot time down here in Santa Monica. weather is in the 90s. Back in the valley a few miles away, it's in the hundreds. And if you have any inclination for God knows why to go into the desert, you can easily find some place where it's 120.
You're talking about the desert. Remember back in the days when I used to drive from San Francisco to Vegas on occasion? I think I did for the Tyson McNeely fight. And I was driving, and I stopped in the desert to relieve myself, per se. And believe it or not, Godfather, a rattlesnake rolled up on me about 3 or 4 feet away. I learned to hold it from that point forward throughout the entire desert. Can you feel me? can you feel me? In other words, when you hear the rattlesnake and you're all out in the desert all by yourself, miles from anybody, that was traumatizing. So no more stops in the desert for Pedro. In fact, I'm not driving through the desert anymore.
All right. I'm down with you.
All right. Interesting week. Boxing seems to be coming back. The bubble, of course, they've had some fights. Haven't been any great fights or anything like that. The big fight, of course, still coming up on the 17th of October, the lightweight championship, Vasyl Lomachenko, a 3.5 to 1, almost 4 to 1 favorite over Teofimo Lopez. Are those odds a little too heavy?
You know, the odds are based not only on how much you're... They think that the odds makers think that the difference in the athletes, but the difference in the betting. They're trying to reflect the general feeling that nobody out there can beat Lomachenko, and people will put down some green to bet on him. But if the odds are 4 or 5 to 1, they may be a little less enthusiastic.
Is he that? How can I put this? Nobody's perfect. Of course, he got mugged by Salido in that one loss that he had. And, of course, he could beat Salido 1,000 times if they fought 2,000 times. Without a doubt, I mean, he'd beat him every time they're out. They're not in the same
league.
But not that night, exactly. So, but he's been dropped by Linares, who's not considered a puncher, this and that. In other words, he was considered, like, impregnable. You couldn't touch him and this and that. All of a sudden, he's sort of touchable now. Doesn't that make that more of a interesting fight, seeing the fact that Lopez can punch the way he does?
Well, there have been a lot of punchers who weren't punchers when they got in the ring, because how are you a puncher if you can't land the punch? So we don't know yet, but maybe Lomachenko is right for the taking. His training methods and all of that good stuff that makes him so athletic, it takes a toll on you once you get into your 30s.
Yeah. You know, I was looking at some old stuff last night. Larry Middleton fighting Jerry Corey in Wembley Stadium, I think back in 1972. That's an old fight. But speaking of the Corey brothers, what was that tattoo that the old man had tattooed on his hand? Can you tell me that again? What was it?
Yes, it was, I think it was hard work, 4 letters on the 4 knuckles of both hands.
Yeah, he was quite a guy. I'm talking. Somebody told me, is he still alive? Is the father still alive? Do you know?
I have no idea.
I remember watching. One of my first boxing memories, Godfather, was at the Newman's Gym when my father brought me in there. I was a wee little kid, and it was like 1966 or 67 because we went down to watch Eddie Machen spar with Jerry Corey, because Jerry Corey had lost his first fight to Eddie Machen, so they came up here to San Francisco to spar. So I'm watching this guy spar, and he's not wearing any headgear, and everybody else is wearing headgear. And my father, who wasn't a genius, said, you know, he's going to pay for that. And I said, what are you talking about, Dad? He goes, not wearing a headgear. Everybody else is wearing a headgear. He's not wearing a headgear, and he's getting hit clean. He's going to pay for that. And, of course, Corey did pay for it. Died, you know, a cartoon figure of what he once was. Because, Larry, I was with him on a plane one time, and he knocked out the New York Times crossword puzzle in less than 30 minutes.
I liked him. He was a really interesting young man. George Foreman once said that he was the best fighter of his era who didn't win a title.
Yeah, he was fun to be around, no doubt about that. Now, have you heard any rumors on what they're going to do with this heavyweight division now that Dillian White has lost? Did you ever get a chance to see that Dillian White knockout, that one-punch knockout by Povetkin?
I did not see it.
Oh, Godfather! It is an awakening. It is one of those things.
Yeah, but Povetkin has now got a fight with. Who is he going to fight?
He's either going to have a white rematch or he's going to allow the Joshua Fury fight to proceed, because Dillian White was the roadblock before that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I'll see it played over and over again.
Godfather, Dillian White was a guy that tested positive for steroid 3 times, came in about 30 pounds heavy. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Well, shame on him.
Anyway, Godfather, I know you got to run early this morning, so I want to wish you the very best. Of course, you have a great, great Sunday. Say hello to the Godmama. Have a great holiday weekend. And, of course, stay safe. I love you, and I thank you for your time each and every week, man.
Can I ask you a question, Pedro, or do you have to get off the air
minutes? We can roll. Go ahead.
Will somebody tell me why there hasn't been more media attention on the relationship between I lost my mind here.
You tuned to Ring Talk Live.
The Mexican middleweight.
Canelo.
Canelo, okay. Thank you, sir. And DAZN. That apparently they've run out of money, or at least the kind of money they thought they were going to pay Canelo, which is something which is about $35 million a fight for 10 fights. And now there's some, there's going to be some ongoing lawsuits. I hear that DAZN is stressed for money, and we may not see the big fights on it anytime soon. And I'm just curious why there hasn't been more about this story.
I don't know, but my big bitch is that they're charging me $20 a month for 6 months, and I haven't seen anything but that one Povetkin knockout.
Well, that's a part of the story then.
Anyway. I will run on that. We will try to follow it up next week. You and the Godmama have a wonderful weekend. As I said again, I just can't thank you enough for your time.
Thank you, Pedro.
He is the one, the only, the esteemed, the Godfather, retired HBO Godfather himself, Mr. Hall of Fame Larry Merchant, exclusively on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
He must know that I'm not like no other fighter. I can give it, and I can take it.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You know, in my mind, my twisted mind, I think of Manny Pacquiao as the best fighter of his time, and Floyd Mayweather as the best boxer of his time.
Let my boys harmonize here. Tower of Power circa 2004, I think. So somewhere around there, 2004. Some bottom line is Tower's rocking and rolling, of course, as they always do. You can check out their new, brand new albums. They've got two brand new albums, CDs, LPs. What do they call them? I don't know what they call them nowadays. Digital releases? Anyway, bottom line is they've got two new digital releases at towerofpower.com. Check them out, of course, Emilio and the gang. Good morning. Checking out today's boxing history, of course. Oh, wow. September 4th, 1946, Ike Williams retained the NBA lightweight title. That's actually the world lightweight title against Ronnie James in Wales. And I got to tell you this, Mexico City on that date, September 4th, bottom line is Humberto Chiquita Gonzalez turned pro. Did I ever tell you about him? He was like the undefeated 108-pound champion. He was like, he ended up having a mega fight or a couple of mega fights with Michael Carball at 108 pounds. But he was the undefeated champion. He was like 35-0 with like 32 knockouts and this and that. So he's going to fight this guy named Rolando Pascua, who's a 101 underdog from the Philippines. So Jack Fisk and I say, you know, this will be a good time for us to go to L.A. and, you know, spend a couple of days down there and, you know, go to Beverly Hills. Godfather, go to Beverly Hills. Of course, he's talking about Jack Fisk, the retired and now late writer of the Hall of Fame writer of the San Francisco Chronicle. So I said, we can go to Beverly Hills. We do a couple of things. Anyway, he wasn't all into that social scene. So we go to the fight and Humberto Gonzalez doesn't show up. Oh, I mean, he was there, but he didn't show up to fight. Anyway, after a few rounds, it was pretty obvious that Pascua was kicking his ass. He got tired, and before you know it, the fight was over. In fact, the Associated Press clipping at the end of the fight, you see me standing on the apron. I can't believe it. I'm standing on the ring apron of the L.A. Forum looking down on this guy saying, I can't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, Humberto La Chiquita Gonzalez, one of the best 108-pounders of all time, without doubt. But Carball, of course, Carball showed so much moxie and so much intestinal fortitude in that first fight they had. The thing was in 1993. Of course, it was rocking and rolling at the Las Vegas Hilton, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, that was a hell of a fight. Carball goes down. He gets up. He ends up beating Gonzalez. Of course, he ends up beating Gonzalez in the fights they had afterwards. But the fights they had afterwards never lived up to that first fight, no doubt about it. But he was a pretty good guy. I'm talking about Humberto Chiquita Gonzalez, except for that one night against a 100-1 underdog. Forget it, 100-1 underdog. Also, 1983, September the 4th, Kiko Behinas died after his bid for the WBC bantamweight title. Of course, that was with my buddy Albert Davila down there in L.A. He was only 20 years old. He was a good kid. I remember interviewing Davila after he won, before and after he won the title. It was sort of sad that Davila had to endure that tragedy because, you know, he's really, really a nice guy. 1987, September the 5th, Virgil Hill wins the WBA light heavyweight title, stopping Leslie Stewart. I think he was from Guyana in five rounds, of course. Michael Spinks retains the IBF heavyweight title with a fourth-round stoppage over some bum from Norway. Why did I say that? My mother's Norwegian. Of Stefan Tangstad, that was in Las Vegas. In the same card, Bobby Chez wins the IBF light heavyweight title by beating some guy by the name of Slabakan Kabar. I might as well call him a slob. Bottom line is, stopped him in five rounds. The junior welterweight circus, of course, Patricio Oliva. Remember him? Good fighter, no doubt about that. September the 6th, 1986, the junior welterweight championship went down in Sicily. Take that back, Naples, Italy, with Olivio winning the WBA title with a third-round knockout, of course, against Brian Brunette, who really didn't belong in a world title fight. 9-6, 1997. I'm talking about Eric Morales wins the WBA super bantamweight title with a second-round KO over Daniel Zaragoza. Let me tell you, Zaragoza, I could have beat him. Eddie Croft was from the peninsula. He was in line to fight Zaragoza. He was going to be the next challenger. Promoter John Chargan had set this up. So in between, after Chargan had set up this title fight with Zaragoza, who was like 38 years old. He was older than dirt, okay? I mean, old, slow. I mean, good Lord, if there was ever a guy that was prime for the picking, it was him, okay? So Zaragoza. So anyway, Zaragoza, how can I put this? Zaragoza wanted to fight. Zaragoza is a tough old guy. He's 30 years old. And anybody you want to put him in with, he will fight with, no doubt about that, okay? And, you know, Eddie Croft, how can I put this? He took the fight at 130, 126 pounds with Tom Johnson for the IBF 126-pound title for $30,000, lost his WBC rating, hurt his eye in training, was never the same, and never got that title shot. So, Eddie, that was a major, major, major mistake. And, of course, Eric Morales, as I said, on this day in 1997, had a TKO over Daniel Zaragoza. Of course, he was a four-time champ, but, man, you got to think about this. I mean, four-time champ? I think I could have beat him. I'm seriously. He couldn't have won the Golden Gloves here. I have no idea why he was as great, or so-called as great as he was. Last night, the WBO 122-pound title was on the tide. Take it back. 130-pound belt was on the line. James Herring now 22-2. With 10 KOs was a disqualification winner over Jonathan Oquendo. Oquendo was using his head as a third hand. Oquendo is now 31-8 with 19 KOs. It was sort of predictable. It just was sort of predictable. I mean, it wasn't a fight that was probably. And Oquendo, what can I say? Cheap shots are cheap shots. And using your head, you know, Holyfield did it his entire career. Nobody ever called Holyfield a dirty fighter, of course, until he did it to Mike Tyson in that bite fight. That's what prompted Mike to bite him. People don't realize that. People say, why did Mike Tyson bite Evander Holyfield? Why did he do that? He bit him because Holyfield butted him, not once, but twice, and maybe three times. I mean, Evander was not the cleanest fighter inside. There's no doubt about it. I mean, a dirty fighter inside. I mean, he really is. I mean, when I look back at some of his training methods, I used to watch him train, you know. He'd use his head to hold guys in places. He was one of the slickest fighters. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Evander Holyfield, one of the greatest fighters of all time. And, of course, now training for a comeback with Mike Tyson. That's what he wants to do. They want to have the third Holyfield-Tyson fight, the bite fight, I guess, the trilogy. Of course, and there wouldn't be no trilogy because Holyfield's won the first two. And I don't think Tyson's going to win the third unless, you know, Tyson pulled some magic out of a bottle at the age of 52 years old and he thinks he can hit Holyfield because Holyfield wasn't too hittable in their contest. That was a problem. I mean, he hit Holyfield a couple of times, but he didn't get the reaction out of Holyfield like he did when he hit other guys. What am I trying to tell you? Mike Tyson, Roy Jones, that's going to be 12 rounds. An eight-round exhibition with 12-ounce gloves. That's going to be really highly entertaining. I suggest you not watch that. In fact, if you can steal it on the internet by going to firstrowsports.com or vipbox.eu or something like that, more power to you, because I don't know if I want. Sorry, Mike, but I just wouldn't want to pay for that. You're not going to get me to pay for an exhibition. If you want to fight Roy Jones, I'll pay for that. But if you want to have an exhibition with Roy Jones, I'm not down with paying for exhibitions, so I'm sorry, because I've been taking part in a few exhibitions in my time, and exhibitions aren't fights by any means. And straight up, I guess they want to, like, you know, rake over the people as far as this pay-per-view money is concerned. That's why they moved the date up a couple of months in order to try to get some more attention, get that, because they're not turning a live crowd here. It's not going to be a live crowd, so it's going to be a pay-per-view crowd only. So they're going to turn that crank as hard as they can, of course, and Mike Tyson being the draw that he was. I don't know if he's still a draw, because I told you that he appeared on All Elite Wrestling about 2-3 months ago, and the ratings didn't move at all. I mean, they announced he was going to be on. Mike Tyson was going to be on some special type of referee or some special role he was going to play, some bad guy. He was going to be there the whole nine yards. Iron Mike Tyson in the house. Well, it didn't happen. The ratings weren't happening. So maybe Mike Tyson can't grab what people think he can grab. Maybe that's why they had to put the fight off a couple months, because it's not selling like they thought it would sell. At the end of the day, Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, a bit of a farce, but boxing's had its farcical fights over the years. I mean, it always has. I mean, people thought that George Foreman and Michael Moore was a farce. I mean, you know, Michael Moore was like a young man knocking everybody out. Undefeated. He was undefeated, or pretty close to undefeated, and as a light heavyweight, he was like unbeatable. He was a monster at 175. Moved up to heavyweight, fought Foreman, was kicking Foreman's butt until he got lazy, and Foreman knocked him out with that predictable shot. You could just see it coming. You could see it coming. You could see it coming. And you're trying to tell the other kid, hey, 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 he's suckering you into a move. Don't go in, don't. But he went in. Michael Moore went in. Of course, he got knocked out. And what is Michael Moore famous for, Scott Cuddy? Get knocked out by an old man. Oh, that's pretty cold. 45 years old, George Foreman. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Some thoughts about last week's Ramirez and Postal fight. I wasn't all impressed with Mr. Ramirez. I'm telling you, at the end of the day, Jose Ramirez, although undefeaten now, 26-0 with 17 KOs, he faints too much. He's an over-fainter. And over-fainters, like, they sort of like, they make like a faint is something like you're faking something. He did a lot of faking. Too many faking, not too much faking, not enough punching, not enough clear punching. I thought he should have tried to go out there and make a statement. But, you know, wasn't able to do it. Give Postal some credit. He's a pretty fair boxer now, 31-3 with 12 KOs. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Live on Sports Byline, the podcast on Anchor.com.
Everyone said, I wish I was in your shoe. I wish I was in your shoe. The people, the hundreds of people that wish they were in my shoe don't know the tenth of it. If they were in my shoe, they would cry like babies.
decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization. The UFC had a card last night, of course, in their Apex Center in Las Vegas. And that, of course, I call it Dana White's Hotel. Bottom line is these guys have been coming in. Of course, they've been testing these guys and keeping them pretty well locked up under quarantine, that kind of good stuff, which I think is a smart thing to do if you want this, you know, these cards to proceed. But Alistair Overeem smashed Augusto Sakai. Sakai is a fat guy that came in there last night with a pretty decent record. But the bottom line is he was a fat guy, and fat guys just don't do well in the world of combat sports. I'm sorry. I mean, with the exception of Ante Luiz, who pulled off that lucky punch against Anthony Joshua. Of course, that was two fights back. The second fight, the rematch, was like, what a waste of time that was to watch that. Of course, Ante Luiz showing up like 320 pounds of camp, coming into the fight 284 pounds. He should have been arrested for impersonating a heavyweight fighter, let alone the heavyweight championship of the world. Anyway, last night, Alistair Overeem, they called him, former Strikeforce Grand Prix heavyweight champion. Of course, that was when he was with Showtime, back in the Strikeforce days, defeated Augusto Sakai with a TKO. They called it elbows and punches in the fifth round, 26 seconds in. This was one of those fights where they just let it go. There's no reason they should have let this fight go. The fight was done probably in the third round. They let this guy take another round and a half of punishment. It just wasn't fair. And this is what's wrong with the UFC. In fact, the residual effects you will see because of this, because of the fact that they want to put these death matches in there and there want to be no doubt. I mean, yeah, there's no doubt when the guy's got the spit kicked out of him. When I say spit on the radio, I mean spit with an H. Okay, when you see a guy with the total spit kicked out of him and he's got no life left in him, okay, the fight's over. I mean, you shouldn't have to fight until you've got no breath left or until there's no fight left in you. Bottom line is that UFC stuff, I'm telling you, I think it's too barbaric. I was a former boxer. I took my share of shots. I don't think I suffered too many residual effects from that. But the bottom line is I took my share of shots. I watched guys that took less shots than me get hurt. So it depends on really who you are and I guess how you get hit. But at the end of the day, man, contact sports, it's a rough, rough world. No doubt about that. If Mr. Sakai last night, they should have stopped that fight about maybe two rounds sooner. They stopped in the fifth round, as I said, 26 seconds into round number five. But they should have stopped it in the third round. Ovin St. Preux, former light heavyweight challenger for John Jones, defeated Alonzo Menifield. Menifield was supposed to be the guy. He came in with a nice-looking body, had all these knockouts, this and that, was throwing all these pretty punches in practice. He couldn't lick a stamp if you wet his tongue, man. That guy has no heart whatsoever. In fact, if you wanted to measure his intestinal fortitude, like by the size of his stones, he probably has stones the size of a hamster. I kid you not. So let's write him off forever, Alonzo Menifield. Ovin St. Preux, not the biggest, not the most impressive guy in the entire world as far as fighting at light heavyweight is concerned, of course, but the light heavyweight division has opened up now that John Jones, the long-running 205-pound champion, has moved up to heavyweight, or at least he's given up the light heavyweight championship. In a welterweight battle, Miguel, this was pretty nasty. This was like a mismatch in the making. This Michel Pereira, from I think it was from Brazil, defeated Zalem Amadov. And Amadov looked like he was from the former Soviet Union. I couldn't get a bio on him a little earlier, but I think there's a bio up on him now. Anyway, submission, rear naked choke, 439 into round number three. But I got to tell you, man, that was like another fight that should have been just a mismatch. In other words, you got a fight that you got Scott Cuddy in one corner, you got George Foreman in the other corner. You know, Foreman's going to win. Okay, there was no doubt about it. That's just the way that fight looked. Anyway, Andre Muniz was the winner over Borisov Fabrinsky. That was a submission win. Of course, that was a middleweight. Outside of the rest of the card, there was a women's flyweight bout on the card. Vivian Araujo defeated Montana De La Rosa with the unanimous nod across the board, 30-27. Twice, that means three rounds of zip, and one judge had it two rounds to one as far as these three-round fights are concerned. Of course, the UFC and mixed martial arts, for the most part, there are 3 5-round fights unless it's a main event, which is usually 5 rounds, or a championship fight, which is 5 rounds. Anyway, next up, as far as the UFC is concerned, big-time cards. We're talking about Colby Covington, Donald Trump's favorite fighter. Got to give him props. unpopular as it is, as he was, and he's been booed. He's been people throwing stuff at him. He doesn't care. Kobe Copeland is making a name for himself. I think he's selling some tickets. And, of course, he pushes the little I mean, listen, you got to get every nickel you can out of Dana White. And I told you before, Dana's like the pimp of all pimps. I mean, think about that. Out of every dollar that comes in, only 12 cents go to the fighter. 12 cents goes to the fighter. Imagine having like a baseball team. You couldn't pay a baseball team 12 cents on the dollar. You couldn't do that. I think the Major League Baseball is getting like over 50%, and NFL is getting over like 50%. So these guys are getting 8 to 12%. Come on, something's wrong. But then again, we've known that for a long time. I checked in with Kyle Kingsbury about a month ago. Of course, the king, the former king, and retired king. Anyway, light heavyweight fighter out of the UFC down there in Silicon Valley, the American Kickboxing Academy. And he told me that the lawsuit that he and Kung Lee and a few other fighters have initiated against the UFC and Zuffa Sports, that is still rocking and rolling. Anyway, Kobe Covington going to take on Tyrone Woodley. Tyrone, of course, the former champion at 170 pounds. Good fighter, but last time, on that last fight he had, man, he didn't, like, throw a punch with any bad intentions on it. I mean, you've got to want to, you know, inflict damage. This is combat sports. This is not posing. He did a lot of posing. This fight course goes down September the 19th, of course, from live from Las Vegas on ESPN. Co-feature is a couple of heavyweights, Cyril Gane and Shamil Abdurakhimov. Just put it to you like that. Anyway, women's strawweight bout on the card. Always want to mention the women. Mackenzie Dern versus Randa Markos. Of course, women always kick ass in MMA. You know that. I mean, how many times have you ever seen an MMA fight involving women that wasn't, like, entertaining, or they weren't trying as hard as they can? You don't see that with a lot of men. All men. You don't. Women feel they have the burden of the sport on their shoulders, and guess what? They fight like they've got the burden of the sport on their entire shoulders. With the exception of a couple girls, nobody dogs it in the world of mixed martial arts. Speaking of girls, guess who's coming back? Holly Holm. Hasn't learned her lesson. I mean, former champion, of course, beat Ronda Rousey when she went down to Australia and pulled off that huge upset. But Holly Holm, a former professional boxer, of course, she was a Ring Magazine Fighter of the Year in 2005 and 2006 as far as a women's fighter is concerned. Defended her title, I think, 18 times as both a kickboxer and a boxer, okay, as far as, you know, non-UFC fights are concerned. So she's had her share of combat sports. I mean, without a doubt, her professional boxing record was like 33-2. She got stopped two times, had three draws. One of the stoppages, I was there, she got cut under the eye, didn't want to go on. But the bottom line is her kickboxing record, 22-1. 22-1, got stopped one time. Mixed martial arts record, 13-5. She was on a hell of a roll there, and then she lost a whole lot of fights in succession, and now she's coming back, of course. And I would think at the age of like 38 years old, that, you know, you 38 years old, that, and you're going to be 39 in October, that you would have seen the light now. You've made some money, young lady. You're the preacher's daughter from New Albuquerque, New Mexico. I mean, you've made money down there. You've made money on pay-per-view. I know Lenny Fuentes cut you some nice contracts as far as fights were concerned with the UFC. So I know you've made some money. You don't need to be fighting anymore. And good luck, because the girl that you're fighting is supposedly you can bring it. I'm talking about Irene Aldana. Good luck with that one. But talk about Holly Holm. Am I a big Holly Holm fan? I used to be. I used to go down to the pit. Go down to Albuquerque and call her fights as a ring announcer. I televised a couple of her fights. She was an entertaining woman's champion. She was. I mean, she went out there and she tried to put people away. She tried to make statements. But as far as her MMA career is concerned, although she's on the comeback trail and she's won a couple of fights, I just don't think it's in her best interest to keep going at the age of 38 years old. I mean, you have to realize, look, I've been the champion. I've been to the top. That was a few years ago. I'm a few years older now. Things aren't going to change. I'm not going to, like, be able to roll back the clock. Nobody rolls back the clock. You want to look at a classic example of not being able to roll back the clock? Watch Muhammad Ali and Larry Holmes, October 2nd, 1980 in Las Vegas. Ali couldn't roll back the clock. He couldn't win a minute of that fight. I mean, it went like 10 rounds before Angelo Dundee stopped it after round number 10, but he couldn't win a minute in that fight against Larry Holmes. That's when you should not come back. Israel Adesanya, of course, the world middleweight champ, 185 pounds, takes on a guy by the name of Paulo Costa. He's from Brazil. He's a guy that weighs about 225 pounds, comes down to 185. I kid you not. He sheds 45 pounds. 45 pounds. Don't ask me how he does it. I guess there's some enemas involved and things like that. But the bottom line is 45 pounds. He'll be down to 185 pounds for this fight, of course. Israel, a good fighter, undefeated. Costa, a very good fighter. Of course, cocky, very strong. I mean, you got some great records here. I mean, Israel's 19 and zip. Costa's 13 and zip. Costa's a guy considered the hardest puncher in that division. The champion is considered one of the finest stand-up fighters in the division. So it's going to be one hell of a contest. But here's my problem with Paulo Costa. He's one of those guys who's going to weigh in 185 pounds and then go put on 20 pounds. And it's just not fair. I keep telling you, it's not fair. I shouldn't have to, especially in MMA. Boxing, you see, where strength matters in boxing is when you get in clinches and guys move you around and that kind of good stuff. That's when the strength matters. But in MMA, when a guy is bigger than you and he lays on top of you, how the hell do you get out of that? You can't bite him. I mean, outside of biting the guy, how are you going to get out of a guy that outweighs you by 24 or 25 pounds laying on top of your ass like gay sex in the octagon? How can you counter that? You can't counter it. All you can do is struggle and get tired. That's why guys like Khabib, the world lightweight champion, I don't think he should be considered a lightweight champion. In other words, if these guys are champions at these particular weights, let them weigh in the day of the event. If not right before the event, like the NCAA wrestling, the amateur wrestling used to do, let them weigh in the morning of the event. Now, people say, oh, there'll be cancellations and guys won't be able to make weight and this and that. But, you know, that's on them. These guys, if they're cheating, they make the weight, more power, you know, more power to them if they get caught. But the bottom line is this Paulo Costa guy, I smell Flintstone vitamins. I'm sorry, Paulo. I mean, I just look at you and I see Flintstone vitamins. Anyway, light heavyweight match on the same card. Dominic Reyes is going to take on Jan Blachowicz. And outside of the rest of the cards concerned, old guys like Diego Sanchez taking on Jake Matthews and Brad Riddell and Shane Young. In other words, old dudes as far as the UFC is concerned. And that's going to be the UFC, of course, 253, the pay-per-view, September 27th from Dubai. Everybody's going back to Dubai right on. Let them go over to Dubai, have a good time. I hope they don't pass the COVID around and catch a COVID. But the actual next fight for the UFC will be, of course, next Saturday. I'm talking about September the 12th. And women in the main event. Again, props to the women as far as women in mixed martial arts are concerned. Michelle Waterson, she can fight. Not a bad-looking girl either. Taking on Angela Hill, same thing. She can fight. Not a bad-looking girl either. These girls are going to rumble. I mean, five rounds, main events at 115 pounds. It all goes. I was watching a couple of chicks rumble last night, and as far as the UFC's card was concerned, I can't think of their names right now, but, man, they were just giving it. They went the entire 15 minutes as hard as they can, and you just don't see that in women's boxing. You just don't see it. You see people cruising and showboating and Clarissa Shields. What can I say? You know, if you're a crack addict, if you're listening to me right now and you're a crack addict or you've got some methamphetamine issues and this and that, you don't have to go to rehab. You just have to watch Clarissa Shields fight 8 or 10 rounds. And believe me, you will be asleep or cured of your crack addiction after 8 or 10 rounds of that monotony. I kid you not. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA, of course. This is hour number one of two, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211. Of course, the podcast coming to you on Anchor.com, the Ring Talk Live Worldwide channel is straight up. And hour number two, which is upcoming after the news, got a couple one more segment, but after the news, at the top of the hour, we'll bring in Aaron Snow, one of the great trainers, no doubt about that. We'll talk heavyweight boxing and Aaron in hour number two. Of course, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide from the city by the bay, San Francisco, California.
You know, Holly's a very hot commodity right now. She can fight wherever, anywhere, really.
For sure, somebody go down and they're going to be Holly. Turn me on. You got the right stuff, baby.
Heavyweight boxing, and that is why it is always something special. Talk about this stuff which they put on in cages nowadays when anything goes. You can keep it so far as I'm concerned.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Make a million, lose a million. That's the way it goes.
Check it. Clock says 56 and a half minutes past hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Come to you on Twitch.tv. Of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. Want to say hi to Main Event Matt. Of course, he's one of my Ask-Kin listeners. Has been for a long time. Matt and the family, I wish you guys the very best and stay safe. Now, let me take you to the dark side of boxing. Somebody said to me, have you ever seen any ring deaths? And I've talked about this in the past. I've seen a few, and it's been pretty sad. Johnny Montanez, of course, in 1997, I'll never forget that. His head bounced on the canvas, and he was just dead, like right there on the canvas. You knew it. The Grim Reaper was in the room. Of course, then there was Rico Velasquez back in 1988 or 89 down there in San Jose, California. I was begging the referee, Hank Alesbrew, to stop the fight, that he was going to die. I said, Hank, he's killing him. He's been knocked down like 8 8 or 9 times, only three being considered official knockdowns. He was knocked down like 4 or 5 other times. I'm talking about Rico Velasquez Jr. And, of course, which was so tragic that day. It was, he didn't have to die like that. And, you know, I mean, this brain bleed that he had going on, I was begging the referee to stop the fight. Evidently, the brain bleed, according to the doctors, was already ongoing. He would collapse about a minute and a half later, and that would be the end of Rico Velasquez's life. But, you know, I'll never forget that night. I just won't. I mean, it's something that, you know, boxing's got all its gloryful days, and you know, I remember all the good times, all the fun times, and this and that. And you know, there's some great things. There's no doubt about it. But there's also some bad times when a guy shows up and trying to make a lousy $2,000, as Johnny Montanez that was that night against James Creighton. James Creighton couldn't punch a lick either, so you can't say that James was some big knockout puncher that went out there and took Johnny out. No, no, his head just bounced on the bottom rope, and the bottom rope wasn't snug. And the bottom rope allowed his head to hit the canvas, and I think that was it. And I just knew it, man. What can I say? A sad night in boxing, but they happened. Of course, there was Kid Hakim back in 1985. Kid Hakim of Andafashi was undefeated out of Nagos, Nigeria, fighting out of Las Vegas, Miguel Diaz's fighter. I mean, he was probably the best boxer, one of the best boxers I've ever seen in my life. I kid you not, he was that good, that good. And what happened? Cocaine. Of course, got into that fight with Robert Quiroga in 1995, got knocked out, and when they took him back to the dressing room, guess what they found in his cup? You know his cup? That's the cup that you wear around your groin area. They found cocaine. Couldn't go without the cocaine. Of course, he died about a year and a half, 2 years later from boxing-related injuries in Lagos, Nigeria. So there's some of the sad things in boxing. Speaking of some positive things, hour number two is upcoming. We'll talk boxing results over the weekend, some MMA as well. Of course, we'll bring in Mr. Aaron Snow, a man that belongs in the Hall of Fame, no doubt about that. Trainer extraordinaire of Mike Tyson and many other heavyweight champions. Aaron Snow in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide.